Let's turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. Let's stand, all right, as we read God's word, giving reference to it, Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 1, 2, and 3. I'll read verse 1, you read verse 2, and then we'll read verse 3 together. Okay, those who are without Bibles, you can just share, all right? Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 1. Let me read first, then you read verse 2 and verse 3. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Verse 2.
Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Verse 3 together. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our health. We thank you for our lives. We thank you, Lord, for the things you've given to us. And oh, truly, Lord, it's just amazing what you have done for us. Through this week, we see your care. And Lord, even in our health, in itself is a blessing. Lord, I know some brethren may be a bit sickly, they have flu, they have aches and pains in their life, in their bodies. But we know, Lord, that through it all, our hearts are still beating, our minds are still sharp, our eyes are still clear, we can see. And Father, most of all, our relationship as a Christian with you is still the same because you still love us and you have saved us and you care for us according to the Bible. And we know, Lord, that on a daily basis, as we pray, as we read your word, as we learn from you are teaching us new things so that we can grow. Today, Father, we pray that if there is someone who is discouraged and someone who may have things in their hearts, and as a Christian, as they are running the race of the Christian race, Lord, and they are tired, I pray today, Lord, that thy word will be a help to them, that they may anchor their life, Father, in your word, on what you say, more than what they are going through. If there's someone who has never trusted Christ, I pray you open their hearts to your word today. For Lord, truly, there is no life until Christ comes in. And I pray your Holy Spirit will make that so real to us today. Thank you for what you're going to do. Bless the chapel upstairs. Pray for your Holy Spirit both to speak to us through your precious word and also for the children that they may learn from your word too. Thank you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. All right. Running the Christian race. How many of you like to run? No one likes to run. Okay, we got Asler, Brother Song Ling. Brother Song Ling, love-hate relationship, when you feel like you need to lose weight, when you're tired. Yeah, all of us, I'm sure some of you run. I know Brother Asler, and he runs, you know, he runs from here to Amsterdam, you know, he does long distances, okay, of course. Running is kind of like work to us sometimes, right? For us who are older, work to us. In this epistle, let's go straight to Hebrews chapter 12. Paul actually writes, I believe Paul is the author, Paul actually writes encouraging the Hebrew Christians to run the race, to run the Christian race. This epistle, in the background, just go straight into it, the epistle was written specifically to the Jews. Was written to the Jews. And these were probably the Jews who, if you remembered, when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people got saved. In Acts chapter 4, 5,000 people trusted Christ as their personal Savior. All right? The Jews were a group of people who had their own religion. They loved the Jewish religion. In fact, up to today, you know what is one reason you know the Bible is true? The Jews. The Jewish nation. The Jewish nation has never been disbanded over 2,000 years of being dispersed. 1948, they came back together to become a nation. So these people were very pious. They knew Jehovah God loved them. But you know, they had their own religion. After when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, they received Jesus as their Savior. Those of us who know our Bible knowledge, they became Christians, leaving their old beliefs to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Let's turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 32, just back. This passage is important because in Hebrews 10, 11, and 12, they're all connected, they're all related. It is one sequence of thought that Apostle Paul wanted to do to challenge and encourage the Christians. But what were they going through? Okay, let's look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32. But call to remembrance the former days, in which after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of affliction. Paul began by saying, guys, remember what happened when you first trusted Jesus. The word illuminated means your eyes were open. Say, I was trusting in religion. When Jesus came, he is the truth. And the Bible says, Jesus says, John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And so the Jewish people were focused on a form of religion, but when Jesus came, say, hey, he's not just teaching us a set of beliefs. He's teaching us the way of life, how God intended it. And so they became a Christian. They were illuminated. He says, remember last time when you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of affliction. Now, this great fight of affliction, if you understand, after the Jews became Christians, what happened to them? They were kicked out of the synagogues. They were kicked out of their religious... last time you were with us, now you're with this Jesus. Get out, you know, and they were kicked out. Many of them were persecuted by the Pharisees. Remember the apostles? They were whipped. They were thrown in prison. Why? Because they did a crime? No, it's because of Jesus Christ. Today, many people all over the world as Christians go through the same in Laos, in China, in the Middle East. How Christians were persecuted simply because they believe in the name of Jesus. And so Paul directed them, remember the last time that you endured, that despite the difficulties that come to you, you endured the great fight of affliction. The word affliction means things that trouble you all the time. And it was not because they did wrong. It was because people didn't like them because of their faith. Okay? Partly, as we go on in the verse, while ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions. In other words, you're making an example. People will look at you and say, hey, this kind of people, see, those are the Christians. And so Paul was highlighting, remember the time that you went through that you were, and people insulted you, they made fun of you, both by reproaches and afflictions, partly whilst he became companions of them that were so used. In other words, last time you were a Christian and people insulted you because of your faith, that's one reason. Another reason is because you associated with the apostles. Simply because you were associated with them. You know, kind of like in some countries of the world, just because you say you're associated with this guy, you can be arrested just by association. That was what happened last time to the Jewish. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds. This is one of the proof verses that probably is referring to the Apostle Paul. Okay? And say, look, Christians, remember the time that you became Christians, you went through all those tough times and you associated with me simply because you were compassionate that I was in prison for the faith. And then notice what they did. They took joyfully the spoiling of their goods. And I was being a Christian, they had things taken away from them. You know what's their response? The Bible says they took it joyfully. In other words, I'm a Christian. If you want to take away my stuff, go right ahead. Because I'm suffering for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm suffering for the name of my Savior who loved me. Knowing in yourself that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Paul then began to tell them the reason why they were able to endure all these difficulties and trials in their life after they became a Christian was because they know they're going to heaven. And one day, because of their forgiveness of sins, they are going there. And so, go ahead, take everything I have. I believe in the Lord. And then Paul, at the end of this admonition, told them, don't throw away your confidence. The Jewish Christians, after a time of faith in Christ, were beginning to doubt. They were coming to a time that they were saying, hey, last time actually my Jewish religion was not so bad, actually, the ceremonies and all that. And who is this Jesus? They begin to question their faith. They begin to question, is Jesus really better than the old ways, that the old religion I had? Is Jesus really better? And Paul told them, don't throw, cast not away therefore your confidence, which have great recompense of reward. And there was a problem Paul identified. And this is a very real problem in many Christians who started well, who was on fire for God. They were living and they were really doing all they can for God. And even if they lost something or they sacrificed something, they were okay. Why? Because their heart was settled. But there was something that happened to them, because Paul said, which had great recompense of reward, for ye have great need of what? Patience. In other words, as you were running the Christian race, as you started well, somewhere along the line, you got cramps. Your body couldn't take it anymore. The word patience means enduring under situations you have no control over. And that's hard. We all want control of the situations around us. But life's not like that. More than that, Christian life is not like that. Because there are things which we will have no control. Paul says, don't throw your confidence away, because you have great need of patience. Why? Because after you have done God's will, you know, you were pressing on, don't give up. Keep enduring. Because after you finish God's will, you're going to get the reward that God promised you. No, sometimes, I just want to apply this to our own life as Christians. You know, many of us have been Christians for some time. Okay, those who have been Christians for 3 years, put out your hand. 3 years? About 3 years? 4 years? Okay, 3 to 5 years? A range will be better. Okay, 5 to 10 years? 10 to 15 years? Don't be shy, just put out your hand. 10 to 15 years? Okay, maybe all those who have been Christians more than 5 years, put out your hand. Although a Christian 1 year. Okay, where they have been. Don't be so shy, you know, you're a Christian. You know, as we are Christians over a period of time. How many of you has... Emma is what, 1 year? 10 months. 9 months, okay. Emma is 9 months, okay, just the baby. No, from the time you saw Emma, through the time you see Emma now, did you see any growth? Oh, you can see growth because she's smiling at you. She's being cheeky now. she's being, and it's fun to be with her. Actually, well, that's the best time. Now, until she starts walking around. But you know, there's growth. You can interact with her and you can get meaningful interaction. She's growing. Give her another 12 months, she's going to up or talk. She's going to be communicating with you and telling you not to take her things. Give her another 24 months, she's going to learn many things. Give her another 5 years, she's going to grow. Have you stopped growing? It could be that along the way, as Christians, we have stopped running and start becoming spectators. Paul was telling these Jewish Christians, some of you Hebrew Christians are beginning to reconsider your position as a Christian. You know, when we first trusted Christ, we can be on fire, we love the Lord, we love the church, we were obedient to the Bible, we were obedient to the faith. And then the rubber met the road. Reality set in. I have to do this. And life's duty starts to take over. And you begin to be distracted by different things. And then, more than that, it's interesting. For some of us, troubles actually come. You know what? Usually for Christians, trouble comes. You give up the faith. You don't give up your job. Why? When we don't see the relevance of our so-called faith to the life, we begin to re-question and move our set of beliefs. We when Christians will always use this phrase. Some Christians, okay, stoically will say, so it means, how do you describe stoic? Just, you know the song, Que Sera Sera, whatever will be, will be. Que Sera Sera, whatever will be, will be. Sometimes we treat our Christian life like that. Oh, by God's grace, I will make it. But we have no clue what we're talking about. And for weeks, we would, by the grace of God, are you okay? Yeah, oh, by the grace of God. We have no clue whatsoever how we improve ourselves so that we can keep growing and running the Christian race. Okay? And you know, we can say, oh, by the grace of God, but we live daily in defeat. We go through the same problems and we don't seem to get out of that rut. Now, I'm here to tell you today, as much as God has said in Psalm 23, verse 6, God, you know what Psalm 23, verse 6? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. That's a promise, by the way. Christians, do you realize that every day you get up, God's mercy and grace is already on your life? God says that His mercy and goodness will follow you all the days of your life. Okay? As much as God has said that, God has given us practical steps to run the race. Practical steps that will differentiate you from a Christian who say, oh, God's grace will get me through, to a Christian who is growing. And I want to tell you today seven things you need as runners in God's race. And I'm praying that, I can tell you that I've preached this message many times, but I've made a little bit of adjustments. But I can tell you that all these seven, I believe, are being practiced in many of your Christian life. Those who are growing are practicing this. And I've known practically all these steps. And I hope that God will be able to help you to grow, to run the Christian race so that you can complete it. Okay? So before I even begin, can I tell you that you have already won the race? Do you realize that? Christians, you have already won the race. Now, I like to give you, how many of you like to get 100 upon 100 for your exams? Put out a hand. Okay, there. One. Yeah, Chingy. Do you realize it's already given to you, the 100 points? The 100 is already given to you. Do you realize the 100 points? The A star is already given to you, 100. It's already given to you. You just have to work hard to get it. Does it make sense? In other words, I don't think the people in MOE are saying, I'm going to grind these people and make sure they fail. I don't think so. They want you to pass. But I'm sure, when they give you a mark, I think when teachers smile, hey, this guy knows his work, you know, and it becomes a joy to mark. I have a friend I shared with you before. His name is, I don't tell you his name. He's one of the smartest person I know, okay? Before he, that was like 30 years ago, when I was doing my O-level. A-level. Oxford, Cambridge actually offered him a scholarship before he took the A-levels. That's how smart he was. He said, all you have to do is 4 A's. And when the papers came back, the newspaper, the examiner at Cambridge, when the A-level results were released, said this was the best paper, F-maths paper that he has ever marked. I don't know whether he got 100 upon 100, I don't know. But he was really smart. Okay, he was a Christian. Unfortunately, he walked away from God later on. Okay, but we all want to do well. Did you know that we already won the race? Christians, we have won. And I'm here to tell you, as your pastor, I go through defeats too, but I'm confident of that. I've already won, because when I die right now, I'll be in heaven. Amen? Not because of what I've done, not because I'm a pastor, because of what Jesus Christ has done for me on the cross of Calvary. And I want to encourage us with these seven things you must have as a Christian to run the Christian race. Number one, we're going to look at some passages of scripture, right? And it's all in Hebrews. Number one, you need to run the race by starting with a settled faith in Christ. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Okay, let's read it together. I think some of you turn to Hebrews 10, 11, 12. It's all going to be around there, most of it anyway. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Let's read together. Ready? 1, 2, go. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I've preached this before. Hebrews 11 is the hall of faith. If you read the book of Hebrews 11, chapter 11, you will find there's 15 to 17 heroes of the faith. Within there, you see these heroes who defied all odds humanly to live the Christian life. Paul, in writing Hebrews 11, had one purpose. That is to show the principle of persevering faith. Now, I'll talk about it in point number three. The principle of persevering faith. Did you realize that all the people represented in Hebrews 11 faced the odds in their Christian life, and every single one of them overcame? And that was the purpose why Paul put Hebrews 11, which I'll talk about in point three, that they had persevering faith. In Hebrews 11 verse 1, the Bible says, for faith is a substance of things hoped for. The word substance means a foundation. Faith is something that is in you, that is a foundation, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let me read what I have. Faith is a foundation on which we stand, and faith, listen, in the background gives evidence to the fact that he's there. What do I mean? I want to give you this saying, which is very important, because I believe it very much reflects Hebrews 11 verse 1. We believe, therefore we act. We believe, therefore we act. In this world, we must have all the evidence first, then we will believe. But faith is something that God creates in us after we've trusted Christ as Christians, and we do things in our life to reflect the faith we have. Does that make sense? Everyone confused? Let me just read the next verse. In Hebrews 11 verse 2 says, for by it, by faith, the elders obtain a good report. Now, just without going into all the heroes of the faith in Hebrews 11, how do we know they have faith? We know they have faith was because of their overcoming life, because of the decisions they made. After we go through them, because of the things they went through, but it was all by something that was inherent in them that caused them to do what they had to do. Okay? We believe, therefore, we do. I think the settled faith that we have in our lives comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And that is the order in which God says, for they that cometh to God must believe that He is. You know what that means? That means when we approach God, we don't approach God with the attitude of, well, I'm not too sure whether this is real or not. We approach God as a Christian with a settled faith. Lord, I know you are true. I know you are there. And therefore, I'm coming to you. Does that make sense? That's settled faith. For example, Edward, who knows to do the visual, Edward is a commando, okay? So, Edward, I'm coming to you as a commando because I know you can do this. I have full faith in him. That's why I'm coming to him. Maybe I need him to do a raid or something, I don't know, yeah, along the job. Or maybe I come to someone who can use his computer very well. I'm not very good. Or maybe call the Brother Henry. Brother Gideon can draw very well. I can go to him. Brother Gideon, I'm coming to you because I have faith in your drawing ability. Can you do this for me? Does that make sense? I'm coming to Brother Gideon because he has a fantastic drawing ability. So like many of you, some of you may have other skills. I'm coming to you because you're very good in that. Because I trust you. We use, God is able to use Sister and Sister Summer White because they have expertise in their area of real estate. We trust them to do the job. We believe, therefore we act. Does it make sense? Christians, many of us act with unsettled faith in Christ. We don't believe he can take us through. We don't believe. That's why there's this phrase called unbelieving believers. But God is saying, you need to have faith, a settled faith in Christ. In other words, as you run the Christian race, you know you've already won. You know God is going to be there. You know the Bible will help you. You know the Holy Spirit is there. That's a starting point of the Christian life. Psalm 27 verse 13. This is another verse to help us to understand that as a Christian. Okay? Psalm 27 verse 13, I believe, is in your verses there. The psalmist says, let's read together, all right, for those who are there. Ready? One, two, go. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. In the book of Psalms, the psalmist David said, I would have fainted. I would have lost. I would have been weak. I couldn't do anything. I have fainted unless I have what? Believed. I believed to see the goodness of the Lord. Question for you from this verse. Has he seen the goodness of the Lord yet? No. But he put faith in a God who will come true for him. Does that make sense? Christians, we need to start from that. That defines the difference between a Christian who is continuously running the race and a Christian who does not run the race at all. Christians, if you have trusted Christ, you need to settle your faith with Christ, that he's able to take you through everything that you'll ever go through in this life. Because it is by this faith the elders obtain a good report, because they trusted. If you read in the heroes of the faith, their entire lives reflect their faith in a God who can take them through. Okay? We'll touch on that later. We need to have a settled faith that Christ is God. He is the Savior. He is the resurrected Christ. That faith must be settled. So how do we, if you're Brother Johnny, I'd like to have this faith. How do I have this settled faith? Let's look at John chapter 5, verse 24. Jesus gives us very clearly the settled faith in Christ. John chapter 5, verse 24. And I'm going to tell you how we can have this settled faith, okay, as a Christian, rather, as a non-believer, if you're not a believer today, God wants you to have the settled faith. But if you are a Christian, be strong in that faith. But in John chapter 5, verse 24, let's read together. Okay, ready? One, two, go. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me had everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Jesus said, surely, surely, I say unto you. He says of a truth, this is true. The word verily, verily is very adamant. He says, this is absolute truth. I am telling you, if you hear my word and believeth on the Father that sent me, you have eternal life. No other belief system in this world promises that. Only Jesus. You know how we can be confident? Because he died, and on the third day he rose again, defeating death. And if we put faith in his work, we will go through the same thing that he did. And today, the empty tomb is the most indisputable fact of history. Although many people would say that Jesus did not rise from the dead, everyone cannot prove that he's not alive. In fact, all the people, the professors of old in 1800, Dr. Simon Greenleaf, a Harvard Law professor, wanted to disprove the resurrection. He became a Christian. Why? Because he cannot disprove that there was an empty tomb. Jesus rose from the dead. Christians, have you settled your faith? Okay, number one, we need to run the Christian by settling our faith in Christ, number one. Number two, we need to run the Christian race by basing life in the Word of God. Let's turn back to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 and verse number 3. Hebrews 11, verse number 3. Hebrews 11, verse number 3 says, through faith, we understand. This is important, huh? Through faith, we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God. How many of you were here at creation? None. For those who believe in evolution, how many of you were here when evolution started? None. If there was such a thing. Do you realize the belief? These two are beliefs. Evolution is not science. It's a belief system. But you know what? For a believer who have trusted in the living God, the Bible says, through faith, we understand. We have a firm foundation that the worlds were framed, specifically created by what? The Word of God. For those of us who know the Bible, Genesis 1 verse 3, I believe, and God said, let there be light. God, in Acts Nihilo in Hebrew, meaning creating something out of nothing, God spoke the world into existence. Through faith, we understand this world was framed by the Word of God. You know, that's an exciting one. All of us as Christians need to base our life in the Word. Okay? But you know what's exciting? That's not the exciting one. The second part of that verse is exciting. Okay, let's look at the second part. So that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. What does that mean? Okay, what do I have in my hand? Actually, what do I have in my hand? Okay, what is it made of? Okay, you know you're wrong. What? He's right. Well, it's paper and ink. What? But the Bible says, look at what it says. So the things which are seen were made of things, were not made of things which do appear. You say it's made of paper and ink, right? I contest that because the Bible says this thing is not made of things which you see. It's made. What Paul was intimating is this. This entire Bible is made of atoms which you cannot see. Oh yeah, right. He's a very good science person, so I can use him. Did you realize there's 500,000 atoms in this piece of paper? I did some research. Can you see the atoms? Without atoms, can anything survive? That's what Paul is saying. Your life is sustained by your faith in Christ is the thing that will sustain your Christian life in which you cannot see. You know, all of us say, oh, I need to feel God. No, you don't. God says it's by the Word of God we understand mentally and in our hearts. We know God is there. And it's our faith, the expression of what we do comes from the fact that we, our life, our Christian life is sustained by something we cannot see. Just like, how many of you can see wind? We can't. But we enjoy the effects of wind. And you know, that's exactly what he's saying. Electrons and atoms we cannot see, but it's the smallest unit of matter, am I right? Okay, got something smaller, but can you see atom? No, right? I'm right there. But that's what Paul is referring to. A lot of the things in life we can't see, but it sustains the very thing that is the evidence outwardly. Does that make sense? And all the things we see around us is the product of atoms. And when God actually says that, he's saying we need to run our Christian race by basing our life in the Word. In the Word of God. Okay? In the same way, the things we cannot see are the sustaining the things which can see. Your life in God is sustained by the Word of God and His promises. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Singaporeans like to live by sight. Why do I say that? There was one friend of mine who was selling a house. And he was given a valuation at this particular price. And then this friend of mine decided to paint the house. The valuation went up by 5,000. Because when people see, oh, it's a nice house, because of the new coat of paint and all that. You know, Christians, many times we live very sensory lives. We see, therefore we act. We see, therefore we act. God wants us to learn to live our lives, not by our sight. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5, we live by faith, not by sight. And therefore, in this, we need to run Christian race by basing our life in God's Word. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, 27. Matthew chapter 24, chapter 7, verse 24 and 27. Let me just, I like this passage because it just spells out very clearly what this means. Matthew 7, verse 24, 27, the Bible says, let's read together, okay? Ready? One, two, go. Therefore, Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 27, ready? One, two, go. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Which house are you on? Jesus said, if you hear my words and obey them, he is going to parallel us to a man who built his house on a rock. Every building which doesn't have a strong foundation will fall when the tremors come. In Singapore, there were some. I think Hotel New World collapsed, 1984. There was a reason was the materials... apparently, one of the inquiry was because it was built by someone who wasn't qualified. And materials used, it wasn't strong enough. How many of us are building our Christian lives on sand? When we hear God's word, we don't do it. God says, we are building it on sand. That's what he says. That will be the difference between a Christian running the Christian race with God as his base. You'll get tired, but you won't give up. Because God's word nourishes your soul. Every time you read it, it refreshes you, it strengthens you. But when a believer doesn't read the word or rejects the word when you read it, you have no sustenance. That's why Christians backslide. That's why Christians don't live for God. That's why Christians sin. That's why Christians don't do the things and run the Christian race. That's why Christians trip and fall and stay where they are. That's why Christians look inward all the time. Okay? God's word needs to be our life foundation. Are you in God's word? Point number three, as we run the race, okay, firstly, we need to start with settled faith. We need to base our life in the word. Number three, we need to run the Christian race by looking to godly examples. Going to Hebrews chapter 12 now, which is actually our passage for today, Hebrews chapter 12, by looking to godly examples. Paul says, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Paul is not saying Elijah and Elisha and Daniel and all looking at Brother Song Ling and Brother Jacob and saying, yay, come on man, let's run. There is no evidence to suggest in the Bible that the saints in the heavens can look down and applaud us. Okay, there's no evidence. Jesus can. All right. The only thing I can think of was, remember when Stephen was about to die, the heavens opened and Jesus can look down. God sees everything. But there's no evidence to suggest. But all Paul is saying, look, you guys are surrounded by heroes of the faith. You guys are surrounded by people who are evidence of a persevering faith, who defy the odds in their lives and overcome. Okay? Let's go through a few. Let's look at Hebrews 11. Enoch, in verse number 4, Abel. Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice. You know, there was, I think I learned something from the paces that my children are doing. One of the reasons why God rejected Cain's sacrifice was because Cain did not give the sacrifice based on what God said. But did you know Cain gave his best? Think about that. Doing our best doesn't get us to heaven. Doing what God says does. Many people say, I'm doing my best. I'm making sure my rights are more than my wrong. Doing our best doesn't remove the fact that we are sinners before God. And that's why we need to listen to what God says. Okay? So, Abel... by faith, notice, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. By the way, when Abel obeyed God, he was killed for it. Agree me? He was killed by an angry brother.
Okay, moving on. Then there was Enoch, and by notice again, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. Because he had this before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Do you know what is significant about Enoch? If you read Genesis chapter 4, I believe it's chapter 4, you read the life of Enoch, he was the only one righteous in his generation. When everyone else did not walk with God, he did. And fathers and mothers, are you listening? The reason why Enoch walked with God was because of the birth of Methuselah. Read it. And because of Methuselah forecasted the destruction of this world. You know how old Methuselah lived? 969 years. Why? The longest person that ever lived on planet Earth, it was in the life of Enoch, and because Enoch saw the birth of his son, hey, I can't play games with my life anymore. This whole world is headed towards destruction. I need to walk with God. And God took Enoch because he had this testimony that he pleased God. And it was by faith. It was the evidence that came out of his life and said, look, I can't play games with my life anymore. I need to be right with God. And he did. And Bible says what he had this testimony that he pleased God. How did he please God? The next verse, verse 6, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. All right, next one, Abraham started a new nation. Abraham started a whole new nation. And he tried ways and means to get a new nation. He couldn't. He realized all I had to do is to follow God. What drove Abraham from his native land? What drove Abraham from his native land? Look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8. The first part, by faith. Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should, after receive the blessing, obeyed. By faith. But Brother Johnny, that's very simplistic. I have no contention with the Bible. The Bible says it was by faith. Abraham left. Do you realize he left his comfort zone to go to a country? And said, God, where am I going to go? I'm not going to tell you now. Just go. Okay, God, that's faith. Sometimes our children are like, where are we going to eat? Where are we going to eat? Just follow. Okay, that's faith. I skipped Noah. Let's go back to Noah again. Noah, in verse number 7, by faith, Noah being one of God of things. You know what's... This is interesting. When Noah built the ark, he probably don't even know what an ark is. Because it hasn't rained yet before in the first 600 years of creation. Because God watered the entire world. Okay, those who study science a little bit of how the... You realize that no God, you want me to build this... By the way, the ark is the size of an aircraft carrier. And I don't think Noah was quite backward. It must be how sophistication and intellect to be able to follow God and build that. He had some help, his three sons, for Noah to build an ark. Can you imagine a big boat sitting on land? What's it for? All Noah could say was, God said, it was going to rain. Am I supposed to build this? And if you guys come in, you'll be safe too. And Noah, what are you doing with all these kangaroos? Noah, what are you doing with all these tigers? Noah, what are you doing with all these lions? Oh, I'm bringing up. God said it's going to rain. Are you crazy? What? It's rain. Something you eat, you know? They've never seen rain before. That's why it was by faith. Do you realize, Christians and Bethel Baptist Church, listen to this. We are the modern day Noahs that are telling of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ that this world don't believe in. And by our lives, we are supposed to show the people, let's get into the ark before it's too late. Think about that. But you know what? It's by faith. Some people say, no, I don't believe this faith. It's too outdated. This Bible is more accurate than our newspaper. No disrespect to the publications or other publishing houses. This Bible is more accurate because it was written by God himself. No, by faith. Okay, let's move on. Sarah gave birth to a son. Not this Sarah we had. Sorry, Sarah, not you. Sorry, in the Bible, Sarah and Abraham. Sarah gave birth to a son at 90 years old. How do you like that to happen to you, mothers? Yeah. When you're 90 years old. And it's interesting, the Bible says, Sarah gave birth when his womb was closed. Only God can open that womb. And the Bible says it was by faith. Sarah gave a child. It was by faith. Initially, she doubted, yes. But you know what? If it's written in the Bible, it was by faith. Sarah later on trusted God. And she brought forth a son. That is in 11. Okay, verse number 11. By faith, through faith, also Sarah herself received seed, received strength. Notice the sequence. God gave strength to conceive the seed. It was God. True faith. And it was all true faith. Going on, Isaac blessed his children concerning their future. Look down to verse number 20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Do you realize the conflict today was because of what Isaac saw? More than 5,000 years ago. It was only by faith. Because Isaac was told, in your womb, there are two nations fighting. Jacob and Esau. It was by faith. Who told them? God. Okay? Jacob blessed Joseph. Joseph, I like this one. Joseph gave commandments concerning his bones. Look at verse number 22. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Joseph died and told the children of Israel, you are going to leave Egypt one day, and when you leave, please take my bones along. From the time Joseph died to the time Israel left Egypt, how many years was that? 400 years ahead, Joseph have already said, please take my bones with you. And it happened. And guess what? The Israelites, when they left Egypt, remember what Joseph said 400 years earlier. Fathers, your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren, 400 years later, were they still hear of Jesus within your generation and your family? It is obvious that the Jewish people took what Joseph said seriously and passed on from one generation to another. When you leave Egypt, remember the bones. When you leave Egypt, remember the bones. When you leave Egypt, remember the bones. And they remember when they left. They took. It was something important to them. It was by faith. Joseph was able to give commandment. Moses' parents, verse 23, I like this. Parents is for you. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because he saw he was a proper child. The word proper child means what? No, handsome. But it means more than that. They saw he was a goodly child. They said, God, you have a purpose for my son. Although born into a time that Pharaoh commanded every male child to be thrown to the Nile, God, I'm going to protect this one. You know, it was death penalty to offend to Pharaoh. But you know what? Moses' parents, by faith, say, God, I know that's what the king of this world say. But God, I'm going to listen to the king of heaven. And you know what? Because of the faith of Moses' parents, who dared to defy Pharaoh's orders, place Moses in a basket in a crocodile-infested Nile, trusting God to protect Moses. And guess what? Moses became the deliverer of 2 million Jews out of Egypt after 400 years. It was all by faith. You know what I like about that? In verse 23, they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Many of us need to understand, when the king's commandment of this world defies the commandment of our Heavenly Father, it's time to take a stand. You don't have to be afraid what men will do to you. Because when we are standing for the right on God's side against the king's commandment of this world, God fights for us. Remember Daniel? Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Remember all the heroes of the faith? They went against the current and stood. Then Joshua's faith, his name wasn't mentioned, but I believe it was Joshua's faith because the Bible says what? By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. And it could be collective faith of Israel. Now all they did was walk around Jericho. It was by faith. And Rahab, by faith, also saved her family. And then there was Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and prophets. Notice what they did. In verse 33, who through faith, all these men of faith, subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, referring to Daniel, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, all the weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. These were the victorious Christians who defied the odds. But the next part, look at it, verse 35. Oh, sorry, verse 36, but continue 35. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. Why? That they might obtain a better resurrection. In other words, I'd rather obey God and die. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had to make the choice. He said, King, even if you throw us into the fire and God doesn't save us, we'll still worship God. That's overcoming faith. That's persevering faith. That's faith to say nothing in this world is going to topple me. I'm going to run the race. I'm going to trust God. Run the race by looking at godly examples. There will be many people around you to discourage your faith. You know what Paul is saying? Look at these heroes of the faith. What they had to do to overcome. Amen. You know, I look at sometimes the faith of Spurgeon, the faith of our brothers in the mission field. There are many people to discourage you. Let's look at godly examples to run the race. Point number four, run the race by looking to godly examples. But now, number four, run the Christian race. But these are the practical things we need to do by laying aside every weight. Laying aside every weight. In Hebrews 12, verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. The word lay aside means literally to put off. Put it aside. Okay, it has the idea of taking things and putting it at the side. It's always very funny when people start to fight. Some of these shows that you see, when they start to fight, what they do? We put all these things to aside, we lay aside. Because you don't want that to hinder you. Do you know the first century marathon runners? You know how they run the marathon? Without their clothes. I don't suggest you do that today. Okay? Why? Literally, they don't want anything to stop or impede their progress. The weight literally means something that impedes your progress. A weight. Something that is heavy. Okay? Christians, do you have weights in your life? No, these weights are not sin. It can be television watching. It can be a game that keeps you up in the park at about 2 a.m. in the morning. It can be computer games. Some of you are getting convicted, I'm sure. It could be your computer. It could be your, you know, hanging out with friends. Facebook. God needs to deal with us. It could be your Twitter. It could be Instagram, yeah, thank you. See, all these things are coming out. Some of the social media, come on, guys, let's come out. WeChat, iChat, YouChat, everyone chat. Tumblr, tumbling down, or I don't know. Not just social media, it could be other things. It could be friends. Friends are not wrong, but if you prefer to spend more time with friends and not do the response God gave to you, there's something wrong. Food can be a weight. It can become a weight also. Careers. Family can become a weight. What is the weight in your life? Maybe you could look at our lives, maybe honestly, and say, am I running the Christian race, and why am I not running as fast as I should be running? What is the weight in your life? Christians, we need to lay aside some of the weights in our lives. You know, there are some people, I'm sure, some, I think I'm just thinking of a testimony of someone who was so obsessed with computer games at the age of 13, 14, until the time he realized, what in the world am I doing? I'm losing time with my studies, I'm not honoring my parents. He's a Christian, and he actually gave up the computer games so that he can focus on what is the priority that God gave him as a student to study. I know, children, can I tell you a secret? I know studies is your work, right? Okay? Like your parents also work. Okay? Can I tell you a secret, children? That sometimes your parents don't feel like going to work. Because either they are tired, either something happened, or they maybe certain things and they're facing this boss that may not be very reasonable and don't like to go to work. But you know what? Your parents are still faithfully going. And if you don't develop those diligent practices when you are young, doing things which you don't like, you will find it very hard to do things that you don't like when you grow old too. What weight is there in your life? Many Christians don't run the Christian race because they carry weights in their lives. Point number five. Not only do you need to lay aside your weight, but also you need to run the Christian race, number five, by laying away every sin that so easily beset you. Sin is something that offends God. An ungodly acquaintance. Things that you go on the internet you're not supposed to go to. You know what I mean. You yourself know what you go to. God says to run the Christian race, you need to give up that sin. Because if you don't, you're not going to run very far, man. You're not going to run. And in fact, this is, and Paul is referring to the one that always trips you, that you're so easily beset by it, that you're always tripping over this one, that the moment it comes, you're always falling by it. Christians, we need to give up the sin that trips you. And I believe in your heart, you know what that is. I know what sin trips me up. And that's the one that Satan... By the way, Satan's very smart. He just got to get you at that point all the time. Okay? I know some people don't like to squeal. There was one time, one of my children, I won't tell you who, don't like me to press. Purposely, I want to press him to irritate that person. That's what Satan does. You don't like this, purposely, the devil will trip you up all the time on this. You need to surrender that to God. You need to surrender that to God. So that you can run the race, okay? Number six, you need to run the race with patience. Run the race by growing in patience. Paul says, wherefore, lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run the race, run with patience. He put the adjective, run with patience, the race that's set before us. All of us have a race. Every single one of us has a Christian life that's different in the sight of God. But God put us together in the church so that we can help one another in the race that we have to run. Does that make sense? And we have to support and encourage one another together, collectively, do God's will. That's a race before us, but all of us individually need to run the race with endurance. And those people who have done marathons will understand what endurance means. There comes a time that you just, I don't feel like going on, but you know what? It's only 10 kilometers left. Because, you know, it's 10 kilometers means you finish 32. There's only 10 kilometers left. For some of us, we think 10 meters, we have problems. But for the marathon runner, when they're halfway through, when they are 30 kilometers, 10 more kilometers. Running with patience, the word patience means, I say again, enduring under situations in which you have no control over. And all of us have these. And that's these things that trip up Christians. God, you're not fair for me to go through this. I don't want to take it anymore. I've heard missionaries do that and they left the field. Cannot tahan anymore. They leave the field. You know? We need to run with patience. Let's turn to Romans chapter 5, verse 3 to 4. We'll be finishing soon, probably about 5-10 minutes. I'll try to wrap it up quickly. But in Romans 5, 3 to 4, the Bible says, after salvation, and not only so in verse 3, but we glory in tribulations. What? Glory in tribulations? Paul actually says, I am so happy when I go through the trials. So what? You know why? Because I know that it is through these trials that God seeks to grow my patience. Christians, you will not run the race if you do not have patience, if you don't endure, if you don't say, God, I don't know what's happening, but I'm trusting you. I don't know the plan for my next year or next month or whatever, I'm trusting you. That's endurance. And you keep the faith intact. It is a situation whereby a person has cancer for 10 years, and at the end of 10 years, he may be shriveled, but his face is just glowing like the sun because of what God is doing in his life. There was one evangelist who said he wanted to go and encourage his lecturer from Bible college, the wife who was actually dying of cancer of some sort. And when the evangelist came, the wife was the one who ministered to him. And the wife was the one who prayed for him. The wife was the one who read the Bible to him. And the wife was the one who said, I know you're very busy. Don't worry about me. Just go off. And this evangelist said, I was there to encourage her, and she encouraged me. You know why? She was running with patience. The race that was set. Her race was a race of cancer in her life. But you know what? She wasn't looking at the cancer, was she? She was looking at God. That's faith. That's faith. Can I encourage us, Ambassador Baptist members, lift up your eyes from your situations, put it on Jesus Christ and what He can do in your life, rather than looking at all the situations around you. The world's going to get worse. Economics may not stand, I don't know. There are many things I was talking to Mr. T just now. Our plans, sometimes it's our plans cannot keep up with the changes in this world. Isn't that true? We may plan something, next year things may change. You know, there's one unchanging person, the Lord Jesus. We need to put our faith on there. Run the race with growing in patience. And last point, we need to run the race by looking at Jesus. Jesus is the ultimate example for the Christian. Why? Look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. The word author and finisher sometimes give us the idea that Jesus is the one who crafts up our Christian life, right? He's the one who wrote, okay, what you need to do. That's not what Paul means. Paul actually says that Jesus is not only the author, he's the starter of the race, he's also the finisher of the race, and Jesus is the one who has went through every aspect of the race. He has gone through everything that you and I will ever go through. He's the author, he's the finisher, he's the participant, he has come to earth, he has run so-called the Christian race, he has died, he's gone to heaven, he has showed us how it means to endure through everything that you and I will ever go through in this life. He is our pattern, he is our example. That's why when you run the race, you need to look at the Lord Jesus Christ. Many people in Singapore sports school today is looking to who for their example now? Joseph Schooling, right? You got someone who's better than Joseph Schooling, amen? Oh, he can do the butterfly in less than 1 second. In fact, he don't even have to do it. Woo, woo. Amen? Guys, we got someone stronger than that. Yeah? Who are you looking to for your example? Well, nothing wrong with athletes looking to someone who's done well so that they can push themselves. Who are you using to push your Christian life? Well, we can look to godly examples, but you know what? People can fail, God doesn't. Just very quickly, let's go through. Who for the joy that was set before him? You know how Joseph Schooling would look at how the mom invested $1 million and look at the potential. You know what? We need to do that too. Jesus said, or rather Paul said, who for the joy that was set before him? No, Christians, you will have a joy one day, amen, when you go to heaven. You will have the final reward. And because of that, he endured the cross. You know what it means to endure the cross? Actually, would you like to endure the cross? Can you just stand up? Let me show you what it means to endure the cross. Endure the cross means you put your hand here. Oh, sorry. Now, see, here to endure that, right? Then after I take a nail. Hey, don't run away lah. Okay lah. You know, let's see an adult do that. But he had to Jesus endured the cross. And he had no choice. This was strong, burly Roman soldiers who hold your and jam rusted nails into your couples, which is here. Wrist bones. He endured the cross, the pain, and then not only that, he despised the shame. You know what it means to despise the shame? When the Lord Jesus Christ went through the humiliation, the insults, when he went through the criticism of the people, when he went through the rejection of even his own apostles, you know what it was his attitude? It's okay. I despise the shame. It's okay. You know why? He was looking forward to the prize. You know what was the prize? Are you listening, Christians? The prize that Jesus was looking forward to is your salvation and my salvation. He is looking forward to the time I may not get what I want and I sacrifice all so that Brother Henry, Brother Gideon, Brother Francis, Brother Joshua Cobb, Brother Odin, some of the sisters here, that you will have eternal life. Amen? Jesus was dying for us and he endured for us. As we close. Sorry, I just want to finish this part. Despite and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. In verse 3, consider him. If you ever feel like giving up, the word consider means rethink what Jesus went through. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Remember I told you at the beginning of the message, the Jews were being persecuted and they took joyfully the spoiling of their goods. You know what Paul is telling these Jewish Christians? Look, I know you're going through this. Consider him who endured the contradiction of sinners, those people who oppose them, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. You will only give up the Christian faith. You know where it starts? In your mind. No one can see what comes out of it until you have settled in your heart, I'm not going to run the Christian race. You decide in your mind. That's what Paul is saying. And he's giving us all this encouragement to say, if you ever want to give up, consider Christ who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest he be weary. In other words, must I go through another day of this? Must I really do this again, Lord? I'm just tired. We'll be weary and then faint. I don't know how to do it anymore. I just walk out. Christians, are you going to walk out of your faith when your Savior did not walk out on you? And I encourage you with that. As we close, is your faith settled in Christ? Do you base your life on the Word? Do you look at godly examples? Are you laying aside the weights and the sins in your life? Are you growing in patience? And are you looking to Christ? Or are you looking at your situation? Can I say this? If we keep talking about your situation, it is not going to help you to grow. But when you look at Christ, you know what? You can have the weaknesses of your life and say, if Jesus is going to help me and he's my pattern, I just follow him. You know, I don't know what the people at Singapore Sports School are thinking, but maybe they're saying, if Joseph Schooling can do it, I think I have a shot. I can do it too. They may not get the gold first, they may get bronze, and then silver or gold, I don't know. But Christians, are you running the race? Are there seven things in your life? Identify which of those, and through my own personal experience as a Christian, and some of the brethren here or sisters here, I'm sure they have had to do one of these seven things in their lives. And that's why they are growing in Christ. Christians, let's run the race. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time. And I pray that you encourage our hearts, as Paul was trying to do. In discipleship, Lord, I know sometimes the process can be long and the pain can be there. And yes, Lord, there's always that tussle in our hearts. But when we see Jesus, our Savior, running the race, we know it's going to be worth it all at the end. And Father, I pray that you will burn in us. We know that the faith can only come from the Lord Jesus Christ. But Lord, as we hear your word, we pray that you help us to submit to it and to run the race for God. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. I pray that you continue to work in our lives. Your eyes closed, heads bowed. Is there someone who said, Brother Johnny, pray for me. I'll stop running the race because of some things in my life. I do want to run the race. Please pray for me. Is there someone like that? Just put up your hand. I'll pray for you. That God will help you to keep running the race. Is there someone like that? Amen. I see that hand. I see those hands. Amen. Is there someone else? Amen. I see those hands. Fathers and teenagers are putting out. Anyone else? Just put up a hand. I need to run the race. Give up sin. Give up weights. Focusing on, amen, I see that hand too. Amen, I see those hands. Many fathers putting out their hands. Anyone else? Amen, I see that. Amen, I see that. Let's pray. Father, I pray for every sister and every brother who put up their hands. Lord, they want to run the race. Help them to show them, Lord, the promises in your word. That, Lord, their life is sustained by the things they cannot see, which is their faith. And help them to put faith in thy word that will help them to run the race. Help them to look to godly examples in the Bible and how Sarah and Gideon and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and all these people, Lord, how through faith they overcame, Lord, to have persevering faith in their lives. I pray that through the word they will be strengthened and keep running the race for your honor and glory. I pray, Lord, the little details you have highlighted, that they will give up the weight in their life, they will give up the sins in their life, they will run the race looking at Jesus and not at the things around them. That, Father, they will run the race with patience and winning the race. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. As we sing a closing hymn, it will be worth it all. I pray, Lord, that you help us to understand that as we look to Christ, it will be worth it all. Thank you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.
Amen. Let's close in with our prayer. Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, we look forward to the day that the tempter will be banished. We look forward to the time, Lord, that we will no longer need to struggle to do right. We look forward to the day, Father, that you will free us from the trials and the temptations of this life. But Lord, we thank you that even when we are here, you are with us. You will give strength to everyone who will call on you, and every Christian who decides to walk with you and run the race, putting, Lord, all these principles in their lives. You will be with us. Lord Jesus, thank you for your example, your great example of enduring the cross, despising the shame. And thank you so much, Lord, that you gave up everything so that we can live and live forever with you in heaven, because you have shed your precious blood to cleanse us from our sin. But God, the process by which you did that was extremely, extremely painful for you. But you endured it because of us, and we thank you for it. Father, we pray you give us courage to run the Christian race, to trust you more than ourselves, to look at Christ and to obey your word more than the people who are around us and the opinions of men. And Lord, we will base our life in your word, and that we will have a settled faith in Christ, that we will do because we believe. Thank you for what you're going to do. I pray for every church member that as they seek, Lord, in the small steps of faith to grow in Christ, grant them the strength and courage to do so. Father, I pray for those who are in the midst of making decisions. Help them to always make a faith-based decision, a decision that is based on your word, a decision that is based on prayer and seeking your face. And I pray, Father, for someone who may not know Christ as their Savior, that, Lord, they will have a settled faith in Christ. This life is only a few more years, Lord, for some of us. Help us to make the full use of this time to honor you, to bring friends to Christ, to change. Lord, we know one day it will be worth it all because of what you have promised us. Thank you for your grace that will follow us and help us as we fellowship, as we encourage one another. I pray this week, Lord, we will run the race for you. Let's pray a special prayer for those who have put up their hands. The Lord, this week, as they draw close to you in their Bible reading, putting on their ways, putting off their sins, putting off things in their lives, that, Father, they will genuinely grow closer, step by step, towards you. that it will grow stronger for you. We thank you. I pray, Lord, every one of us will meet on the shores of heaven, having completed the race. We may not be perfect, Lord, but you will perfect us. Thank you. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.